We're doing in Yaakov. We're in Tractate Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel, in the standard editions of in Yaakov. It's Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Those of you who would like, you have photocopies over here. We're on the first page of your copies, or the last page, depends which way you're holding it. Page 34 on the top right corner. The Gemara had been analyzing the verses of the Tochacha, the rebuke, where the Torah warns us that Hashem punishes in kind with our transgressions. And so the Gemara was discussing which transgressions bring about which punishment. So we continue. Ba'avon shvuat shav v'shvuat sheker. The first word on the line is sheker. We had learned last time that shvuat shav is a vow that's really pointless. It's an obvious lie. Person says, I ate a lion yesterday. He didn't eat a lion. He says, I swear that bus was as crammed as a pack of sardines. It wasn't as packed as crammed as a pack of sardines. It was very crammed. But so he takes a vow over something that we know is a lie. He says, and then shvuat sheker is a vow over something that you don't know if it's true or a lie. He says, I swear I stood on that line for an hour. He did not stand on that line at all. I swear I'll eat Danish tonight. And then he does not. So that's shvuat sheker. Chilul Hashem, the desecration of Hashem's name. A person is in the makolet and he wears a yarmulke and he cuts the line. A person is standing on the train and everyone's there and he's talking loudly and he's bothering people, and then someone tells him, hey, could you keep it down a little bit? And the guy yells back and everyone feels embarrassed, and there he is with a yarmulke. Chilul Hashem is a desecration of Hashem's name, even if he's among Jewish people. Chilul Hashem could be that he openly does an Avera. It's a fast day and he has to eat, so he goes and eats in front of everyone. Okay, maybe that's not an Avera. People don't know that's Marzain. But let's say he decides he's succumbing to his temptation. He's going to eat, and he does it in front of other people. So that's Chilul Hashem. If you have 10 people present when someone transgresses, that's a Chilul Hashem. Chilul Shabbat, the desecration of Shabbos. So we listed 4 transgressions: Shvuat Shav, Shvuat Sheker, Chilul Hashem, and Chilul Shabbat. Over those, Chayah Ha'araba. The Tochacha warns us of wild animals, the destructive animals, and they, there's more of them. Uveimakala, and so the animals that people try to grow, they start dying. So maybe there are more wild animals, so they destroy the animals that people are trying to raise, the cows or the sheep, etc. Uvneadam itmatin, and people become fewer. Vadachim ishtomemin. And there aren't people on the path, so the paths become more dangerous. Shneimar, as the verse says in the rebuke, Hashem says, "V'im be'ile lo tivasru li," and if with these punishments that I've mentioned already, you won't take heed and you won't listen to me, so then there's more punishment waiting. So our sages say the word be'ile can also be read as be'ala. Allah is a vow. Hashem says, what will I do? That's when wild animals will start raining. And by false vows it says, don't swear falsely, that's a desecration of Hashem's name. Why is a false vow a desecration of Hashem's name? Because a person's saying, believe me, I'm telling you the truth. By the king's honor, I swear I'm telling you the truth. What's a vow? Person saying, by Hashem's honor, you can believe me that I'm telling the truth. So if he's lying, what's he saying about Hashem's honor? So that's a desecration of Hashem's name. Uvechilul Hashem k'tiv, and about a desecration of Hashem's name, it says, ve'lo techalelu Hashem kodshi, do not desecrate Hashem's name. Uvechilul Shabbat k'tiv, and about the desecration of Shabbos, it also says, mechalele amot yumat. So the three of them have the term chilul. So we learn that all three are connected to shvuat sheker, a false vow, over which it says Hashem causes the wild animals to multiply, etc. Ve'alif chilul chilul mishvuat sheker. Yes. Bini. It doesn't discredit Hashem, it's a desecration. Meaning, what's chilul Hashem? Chilul Hashem means that there's something which we ordinarily view as sacred, we respect it, we view it as on a higher level than ourselves, And then when a person swears by Hashem's name, what he's showing is that Hashem's name is no different. Just like I'm willing to lie when I speak openly, this person is stating, by the same token, I could use Hashem's name and lie. So what he's done is he's demoted, he's desecrated, he's taken away the sanctity. In our eyes, Hashem's name is just as holy. Yeah, that's the idea of chilul. Chilul is you take something that was ordinarily treated as sanctified, and you treat it as though it's not. Now Rashi here is very interesting. Rashi gives an example of what is chilul Hashem. He says, Adam Gadol. You guys see the Rashi? On the left side is Rashi. Adam Gadol. The first word on the line is Gadol. Shibne Adam Medina Menu. The people learn from him. People emulate him. Ve'inoni zal b'masav. And he is not careful about how he behaves. So then smaller people also will treat Torah without respect. They say, look at him. With all he's learned, he wears that nice big kippah, he has his tzitzis out, and he still doesn't respect the mitzvos. He leaves the minyan early, he talks during davening, he goes to answer himself, and he looks at himself on during davening. So you look at him and you say, obviously, with all his learning, he knows that it's not so important. This whole Torah mitzvos things. And you guys should know that you are the Adam Gadol. Each of you and your families, they look at you as the Adam Gadol. You guys went to yeshiva. The rest of the family didn't. So the way you respect mitzvot, that's the way they think they should respect mitzvot. Each of you in your families is the Adam Gadol. You're the big man. So people say, if someone who we know is bigger than us in mitzvot doesn't respect them, so we don't have to either. V'nimtza Hashem mitchalel v'nasa dvaro chulin. So then Hashem's name gets desecrated in that Hashem's word is treated like it was mundane instead of being sacred. Okay, next. Ba'avon shvichut tamim. Over murder. Bet HaMikdash charev. Hashem destroys his temple. That's what happened in the first and second temple, right? Second temple, when the Hasmoneans were all killed by Herod the slave, and Herod took over the Hasmonean kingdom, so then Herod's children and grandchildren were murderers. They would kill openly. They would kill their own children. There was constant warfare within the throne. Ba'avon shvichut tamim bet hamikdash charev, over the transgression of murder, so the temple is destroyed. V'shchina mistaleket miYisrael, and Hashem's presence leaves us. Shneimar, the verse says, v'lo tachanifu et haaretz, don't cover up, don't try to act in a what's the word? Partial way towards the land, where you say, let me cover up the murder that happens in the land. No, you have a responsibility to abolish murder from the land, to take people to test, to bring justice to the land. And don't defile the land by allowing murderers to walk around freely. You're defiling the land, that you're living in. Because I'm living there with you and I expect justice. The Torah's inferring, if one does defile the land, if murderers are let loose to get away with their crimes, in Chem Yoshvim Ba'Veini Shochem Tocha, Hashem is inferring, I'm letting you live there and I live there because you will maintain justice. But if you don't, then you will leave and I will leave. We're on the second wide line. Ba'avon Giluy Arayot, over the transgression of Giluy Arayot, those are prohibited relationships. A person is intimate with a married woman, that's Giluy Arayot, or other women that he's prohibited. Vavodat kochavim, or paganism. Vashmatat shmitim, or people being careless and not keeping the mitzvah of shmitah, letting the land go fallow. Or yovlot, where people are supposed to give back the properties, they're supposed to let slaves go in the 50th year, the jubilee year. Galut ba'la olam, these are the causes for exile. Umaglinotam, and they get exiled from the land of Israel. And others come and settle the land. As the verse says, Shenemar, Ki et kol toivot el ason she'arz asher lifnechem. The Torah describes the prohibited relationships in the end of Parshas Achrei Mos. And then the Torah says all these disgusting things were done by the nations before you came into the land of the land of Israel. Hashem says the land became defiled and I took it to task over its sins. Hashem says, and if you sin, I don't want the land to kick you out when you defile it. So you understand that illicit relationships bring about exile from the land of Israel. And the verse says, about idol worship, it says that Hashem will cause people to die as they're exiled. Hashem says he'll destroy the temple, and the nation will be scattered. With regard to the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel, it says, the Torah warns the land will go fallow, so to speak, to make up for all the years we should have let it go fallow. We're on the top of the next page, page Yud Chet. Ba'avon nivlut peh, over the transgression of foul language. What is nivlut peh? What is nivlut peh? So the Gemara is going to tell us what nivlut peh is. Let's skip down so we know what we're talking about. We're going to go down 2, 4, 6, 8 lines down. You see the word nituyah in the beginning of a line? Amar Rav Chanin bar Rava. Rav Chanin bar Rava said, Hakol yodin kala lema nichneset lechupa. Everyone knows what's going to happen the night after the wedding. Everyone knows the kala went to get married. Everyone knows where they're headed after the wedding. Ela kolam navelet piv, but he who defiles his mouth and speaks about it openly, afilu chotmin alav gzadin shel 70 shana letova, even if in heaven they decided he's going to have 70 good years, chofchin alav l'ra'ah, they overturn it. Why? Because that's nivlut peh. That's called speaking foully. Speaking foully means when a person speaks overtly about things that should be private. So everyone has to go relieve themselves. Everyone goes to the restroom. But we do it in private. There are things that are private, that are not a part of the more sacred part of life. They are a part of the more mundane part of life. So no one has to talk about it. And when we do talk about it, that's what's called nivlut peh. So now we have a picture of what nivlut peh is. So people once asked, a few weeks ago, guys asked, should you have a sense of humor? Sure, but we shouldn't tell off-color jokes. Our jokes should be pure jokes. Yes?
I understand the whole, why this is about such taboo to say, about, the wedding. I understand less about the poop jokes, but why is it so bad that it would result in such a harsh punishment? I don't see that on the same level as, Gilui Ahayot.
Okay, so the question was asked, why is this so harsh? So it doesn't say openly over here, but I think that we can understand it with the following idea. What, when man was created, so it says, Vaypach ba'afav nishmat chayim, Hashem breathed life into man. Right? What does the Targum translate? Hashem gave him ruach memalala, the capacity to speak. So human life is described as the capacity to speak. The fact that we are humans and not animals, even though animals can communicate too, but the capacity to speak, that's where we see life. So we were given something that can really make us different than the animals. And that capacity to speak can be used as a source of kindness. There's a saying in Yiddish that says, If someone gives you a smack, eventually you'll forget it. If someone says a bad word about you, you'll never forget it. Yeah, what is, how do they say it in English?
No, it's just the opposite. It's just a totally different saying. he's saying negative.
Right. So I think that we recognize in certain realms that our speech can impact the world tremendously. If you think about it, most politicians, their selling point is their speech, meaning their capacity to speak, to convince you. Most of the time, what they're selling is promises. It's not about what they're really doing. The speech that we have, we are taught, has the potential to affect not only human beings, but we have the potential of doing mitzvot, we have the potential of learning Torah, we have the potential of davening. Let's look at the greatest calamities of world history, and we'll see that they revolve around speech. Adam and Eve, it's all about speech. If you look at the story of Yosef and his brothers, it's all about speech. You look at the story of the spies, it's all about speech. It's our speech that greatly affects for good or for bad. So we know Lashon Hara is a crime that's compared with the weightiest of crimes. Look at what happened to the destruction of the Second Temple. Sinat Chinam that revolved around speech. Right? How did Bar Kamtza cause the destruction of the Temple? By talking badly to the emperor. You know the story about King David and the dream, the leopard's milk. So the Medrash says that David's chief general had a question. He asked David, why did you say Chaim v'mavet b'yad lashon v'aveh shicharon musar? Why life and death in the hands of the tongue? So he was shown the following story. Yeah? You know the story, okay? The king asked, the king was very sick, and the doctor said the only way he could be cured is if he drinks leopard's milk. So there was one man who said he could do it, and then he said, you just got to give me many sheep. And then he went and he found the leopard, and every day he would bring her. A leopard is a female lion, yes?
Right.
Or is that a lioness?
Lioness?
Okay, so it was a lioness. He had to bring a lioness milk. So he one day he brought her a sheep from far away, and she ate it and gave it to her kids. And the next day he brought her one from a little bit closer and a little bit closer, until he kept getting closer to her, to the point where he could pet her, to the point where she would let him nurse her. And when he filled his jugs with her milk, he brought it back to the king. And that night, before he came into the king, he had a dream where all his body was started having an argument, and his hand said, we are so great, we were able to send him the sheep and pet the lioness and milk the lioness and get the milk. And the feet said, we were so great because we could figure out how close to go, how far to go, until we got you there to get the milk for the lioness. We're bringing you back. And every limb had a reason to argue why it was best, until finally the tongue said, all of you can do nothing without me. And they all laughed at her, and they said, you did nothing here. What are you worth? And the tongue said, you mock me, I'll show you. They get to the king, and they bring in the milk, and the king says, okay, what'd you bring me? And he says, I brought you the milk of a dog. And the king says, you're mocking me? Dungeons with you. And before he could say another word, he's whisked out and thrown in the dungeons. And that night he has a dream, and his tongue says to the rest of the limbs, you guys convinced? And they all said, you won, you're right, we can do nothing without you, please save us. Fine. So he wakes up the next morning, and he goes over to the guard, and he tells him, look, in the language, the dialect I come from, the term lioness and female dog are the same term. I brought him lioness milk. Let him taste it and he'll see he will be cured. So the guard runs up and he gives word, and they tell the king, and the king drinks from the milk and he's cured. So he brings him back up. That's the story in a nutshell. So our speech really controls much of our life and our mitzvot and lack thereof. When a person does an ivlut peh, this goes in line with the chilul Hashem we spoke earlier. What he's doing is he's taking the holiest of limbs, our capacity to speak, and he's putting it down. Now he's going to say things that are crass, that are base, that are off color, and he's basically taking the sanctity of the human being and destroying it. we're all animals. There are people who really feel that way. We can discuss anything. I think that one of the worst things that happened to us in this century is the fact that our speech is filled with nivlut peh. The fact that people don't understand why a person should blush to use certain words. There are words which are just part of the vernacular as though there's nothing to be shameful about them. Why not? Shame is a sign of dignity. Shame is a sign of greatness. So today on the news, the media, children, people will talk about anything openly. Why? Why is it? It's because there's nivlut peh. And nivlut peh brings all of humanity down. Now, when we can speak about anything, then nothing remains holy. You know, which person would talk about things that are personal about their own parents? Got to be very low to do that. You know, they say even a mobster, if you dare say something about his mama, and he's going to come after you, right? The things you don't do. Doesn't matter anything else you could say, but don't say anything about his mother. So here you see, when it comes to a person's own parents, so usually they have that element of dignity, but we should have that element of dignity in everything. When a person has nivlut peh, so it's a sign of the times. It brings everything down. I think we can see it. Aside from which, we discussed once the Medrash, that anything that happens in the world begins in a decree in heaven, a thought in the human mind, speech, and then action. And speech is the last step before action. That's why it's so important that we take people's speech seriously.
On the other hand, if you say you're going to murder someone and then you don't do it,
then what?
You're not liable for saying you're going to murder someone.
But still wrong. Still wrong. You shouldn't say it. I have a good friend who kept joking with us that when he has a boy, he'll name him El Nakam. This is a guy who tried to protect Jewish Yishuvim and stuff, and he said, when he has a boy, he'll name him El Nakam. Hashem will avenge. We all thought he was joking. Then he had a boy, and he named him El Nakam. So then I kicked myself. I said, I learned with this guy Chavrusa for years. I should have argued with him when he was joking about it. I never thought he would do it. Now the kid was walking around with the name El Nakam. You know, okay. You could say El Nakam, but it's a little difficult to say such a name, to speak about such a midah all the time. So our speech really guides us in the end. I think this is especially difficult for people in the army. I always tell people before they go into the army that there are a few challenges in the army, and one of them is nivlut peh. Our sages say that one of the things that protects the Jewish army is the holiness of the army. What?
I learned how to curse so much in Hebrew after joining that it's ridiculous.
Okay, so it's something to work on. It's definitely something to work on. No, it's not a joke. I'm telling you, in the history yeshiva, when I taught in history, this was one of the final classes. I would pound this in throughout the year, but one of the final classes was this Gemara. The gravity of the holiness of the speech, and it's very hard. It's very hard in the army. I remember when I made these mistakes. These are nuances of the language. I mean, when I came to the U.S., so there are terms which I didn't know were foul terms. You guys might not know that either. And then I came to Israel, and I didn't know that there were terms that were foul terms. I'm not sure I should tell them online here. There are words that are part of the vernacular in Hebrew and in English, and they're really crass. They're really improper. I didn't know it in either language. I mean, the word to screw up is not a clean word. The word, I mean, alapanim is not a clean word. I mean,
that's not a clean word.
I'm saying there are a lot of words that have become part of the vernacular and they're not clean. Hopefully, right?
If it doesn't mean that anymore, then it's clean.
I think that a person should try to maintain a vocabulary that's clean. I didn't know when I came to Israel. I thought lecharben meant to destroy, like the word churban. I didn't know that lecharben means to defecate. I was unaware of that. I used the term. People looked at me like, huh? And I didn't know. I didn't know I was using foul language. So Hazal wanted us to use clean language. So Ba'avon Nivlut Peh, we're starting again from the top of the page over the transgression of defiling one's mouth. Tzarot Rabot. Many bad things happen to the Jewish people. V'gzerot kashot, and difficult decrees. Mitchadshot are renewed. Uvachurei sonei Yisrael metim. And this is a cause for people to die young. Yetomim v'amanot tzokim v'enam na'anim. Even the orphans and widows will cry, will call out, and will not get an answer from heaven, as the verse says, Sheneimar al-kenel b'chuav lo yismach Hashem, v'et yitomav v'et anvenotav lo yirachem, ki chulo chanef u'mera, v'chol pe dver nevala, v'chol zov shabbo v'od yodo netuya. My vote yodon tuya, that we saw the continuation. So that's the first Gemara about Nivlut Peh. That the gravity of this, and you're right, it's extraordinary. You read it and you say, wow, over this? Yeah, this is the responsibility we have, and we have to know that it's really a barometer. The way we speak is a barometer of our morals. It's very hard, but it's true. I don't think it's coincidental that the word repeatedly uses it. When I was a child, the dirty word rhymed with the word it. But no one used the word that rhymes with the word puck. But today, everyone does. And I don't think it's coincidental that today the world is so promiscuous. And the idea that you go to a public school and you barely find a girl that's a virgin past the age of 16. I don't think it's coincidental that the speech has evolved that way and the behavior has evolved that way. So the Talmud gives us a very weighty warning about speech. And it's difficult to hear, but it's still important. It's important to hear. Amar Rabba Bar Shein Amar Chista Kol Amnabel Et Piv. And again, our example in the Talmud was what's Nivul Peh? Someone that throws a crack about the fact that the couple are going to spend the night together after the wedding. Everyone knows they're spending the night together, right? But who's going to talk about it? That's Nivul Peh. Anyone who defiles their mouth, Mamikin Lo Geinom. So Hashem, so to speak, digs deeper in perdition for him. Shneimar, the verse says, Shukha amuka fizarot. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar, shomea v'shotek. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, a person is also held accountable if he's listening to this conversation and he is silent. Shneimar, zum Hashem yipol sham. The verse says, the one who Hashem is upset at, that's the guy who's just listening. He's not an active participant, but yes, he is. He's listening to all of that. Amar b'Yoshaya kol ma'amareket atzmo. That's okay. We'll finish the end of this. Kol ma'amareket atzmo la'averach habrot u'pzein yotzin bo. When a person focuses himself to transgress, so sometimes a person can transgress on the way. Sometimes a person has to take a day off for it. He has to clear time for that transgression. So when a person does that, so then different wounds come out in him. Shneimar, the verse says, Chavurot petza tamruk b'rav, lo od ela shenidon b'hidroken, shneimar makot chadrei vaten. And he's also promised an illness called hidroken, which is an illness that goes from the stomach to the throat. Our sages say that's the worst way to die, hidroken. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, siman na'avera hidroken. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, when you see someone has this illness, you should know it's a sign that they have transgressed. And in other places, later on, the Gemara is going to say that there were big rabbis who had this illness. We don't know when it comes from transgression or not. But when a person gets that illness, they have to ask themselves if maybe they have to do tshuva over a serious transgression, because it very often can be a sign of one's transgression. So what we learned today, the Talmud warned us over making false vows, shav or sheker, desecrating Shabbos and desecrating Hashem's name, which included taking a vow in Hashem's name that's false. We learned about the transgression of illicit relationships, paganism, Shemitah, and Yovel, that bring about exile. We learned about Nivlut Peh, where the Talmud holds us to a very high standard about being careful not to discuss things that we should be modest about. And we discussed how this is especially relevant in the army. And the Talmud also held us accountable not to pay attention and listen to this. So this is very hard in the army. Guys will always tell you. But everyone's talking about it in their room and when you have time off. So go to shul. What a lot of guys do is they go to shul. They go outside. They're not there. Very often people will say, the guy sitting next to me in the room, in the hospital or in the army, is listening or watching to things that are not modest. Right? You have no choice. You gotta try to get away from that. At the end of the day, these things they define a person's course. The way we speak ultimately is the way we think, which ultimately defines the way we behave. And I would add one more point.
Are you on that?
In a second. I would add one more point and then see if you disagree with me. I think one of the things you can see is that when there are all male societies, so very often they can zoom downhill, and the nivlut peh very often will be demonstrated in the way people speak about women. If a woman is spoken about in a respectful way, so more often than not, you will not hear people talking in nivlut peh. Then intimacy with a woman will also be viewed as something with sanctity. But the second intimacy with a woman is viewed without sanctity, almost always you will see following suit the woman herself is discussed in terms of being an object of one's desire, an object. It's not only the act, it's also the human being with whom the act should be taking place. That's also described that way. And I think the correlation is very obvious. And again, you see that speech defines attitude, which ultimately defines action. And speech is that pivotal point where our thoughts, just before they go over to action, that very much defines our attitude.